Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Tom.
Hi, I'm Stephanie.
It's our literature unit that is beginning today as we near the end of the month of January. So maybe you've got some time to curl up with a good book and read a novel in English. And today we're going to be talking about an English novel by the name of A Passage to India by the British novelist E.M. Forster.
Right. E.M. Forster is a very well-known British author. It's a book that examines racism and colonialism, and some other themes we'll be talking about in day three of our literature unit. But as we always do in day one, we're going to be talking about the plot or story of the book itself. So let's get started, guys. We're going to read through today's lesson.
Miss Adela Quested and her friend Mrs. Moore have traveled to Chandrapur, India. Upon arriving, Mrs. Moore meets Aziz, a young Muslim doctor. Aziz has long believed that it's impossible to get along with the British, but when he meets Mrs. Moore, who's respectful and receptive to new ideas, he befriends her. Later on, Adela and Mrs. Moore meet Englishman Cyril Fielding,who invites them to tea with him, and Professor Godbole, a Hindu. Adela also extends the invitation to Aziz. When Fielding and Aziz meet, they strike up an immediate friendship. Not long afterward, the group decides to visit the Marabar Caves together. However, on the day of their expedition, Fielding and Godbole miss the train, leaving Aziz to accompany the women alone. Once there,Mrs. Moore experiences a bout of claustrophobia. Deeply affected by the cave's resounding echo, she declines to explore further. Adela and Aziz continue on, but when something Adela says offends Aziz, he briefly leaves her to compose himself. Upon his return, however, Adela has disappeared. Back at the cave's entrance, Aziz sees Adela driving away.On returning to Chandrapur, Aziz is arrested for sexually assaulting Adela at Marabar. Despite the lack of evidence, Aziz goes to trial. Meanwhile, Mrs. Moore dies on her journey back to England, so she can't testify in Aziz's defense. To everyone's surprise, at the trial, Adela admits she's wronged Aziz, and the case is dismissed.Aziz, though, feels betrayed by Fielding, who has become friends with Adela, whose accusations nearly ruined Aziz's life. When Fielding and Adela return to England, Aziz vows never to befriend another English person. 2 years later, Fielding returns to India. Though he and Aziz begin to repair their friendship, Aziz maintains that until India is free from Britain's control,They can never truly be friends.
Okay, guys, we are talking about the novel A Passage to India, but notice the title of our literature unit is simply E.M. Forster's Passage to India, because we're not using the title of the novel in that title itself. We're talking about the journey through India. So you can, you know, go to India, and passage just means it's kind of a long journey, but you're going through a place as you move on to your final destination. Let's go ahead and check this out. We've got Miss Adela Quested and her friend Mrs. Moore, and they've traveled to Chandrapur, India. Upon arriving, Mrs. Moore meets Aziz, a young Muslim doctor. So at the very beginning, we've got Miss Adela Quested. Back then, of course, there wasn't such a title as Ms. with M-S,which kind of stands for both married and single women these days. Miss Adela, we know for sure she's not married, and she's with her friend Mrs. Moore,who we don't know her first name, at least in our plot summary here. So they've traveled to India together.
Right, and they've gone to this city in India called Chandrapur, which doesn't really exist, okay? This city only exists in this novel, although I guess the author, Ian Forster, did spend some time in India, so surely this city is based on a real city. You'd have to do some research to find out what he's basing the city on, but in any case, we've got these two English ladies traveling to India, to Chandrapur. And upon arriving, when they get there, Mrs. Moore meets Aziz, who is a young Muslim doctor. Now, in India, of course, they have two prime religions there, Hinduism and Islam. Most people there are Hindus, but there is a large population of Muslims there. So this particular person happens to be a Muslim who is someone who follows the Islam religion, and he's a doctor. He takes care of sick people, so they kind of befriend him. They make his acquaintance, and Aziz has long believed that it's impossible to get along with the British. But when he meets Mrs. Moore, who's respectful and receptive to new ideas, he befriends her. So Aziz has long believed that those British people, you just can't get along with them. They are so opinionated. They're so pompous. They always think they're right. We people here in India could never really be friends with them. We're just too different. It's impossible to get along with them. To get along with somebody means you basically don't have any troubles when you're together. You can work together, you can play together, and you never really get mad at each other.
Right. Now, this period of history, at this point, India is being controlled or run by the British. So he probably resents the British people being in his country, and he's probably wanting to kick them out. They eventually do leave, but at this point in time, the British actually control the country of India. He likes Mrs. Moore, though, because she's respectful to him and also receptive to new ideas. If you're receptive, it just means you're willing to listen or to consider new things. You're not closed off. You can actually, you know, listen to new suggestions or ideas and agree with them. You're open to things. Says he befriends her. But to befriend someone just means to make friends with someone. You could simply say he makes friends with her, but befriends is much shorter, and we use it a lot in writing.
Okay, so we've got Aziz and Mrs. Moore. They are friends now, and later on, Adela and Mrs. Moore meet Englishman Cyril Fielding, who invites them to tea with him, and Professor Godbole, a Hindu. I hope I said that correctly here, but in any case, they run across an Englishman, somebody from England, a man by the name of Cyril Fielding, and so he invites them to have tea, and then he's also inviting a professor by the name of Professor Godbole, who is a Hindu. So now we've got somebody else here. We've got a Hindu. We've got a Muslim. Aziz is a Muslim. We've got a Hindu, Professor Godbole, and I assume Adela and Mrs. Moore and probably Cyril Fielding are Christians.
I would guess, just coming from England. So they have an interesting mixed group, you could say, here. Adela also extends the invitation to Aziz. So if you extend an invitation, it just means you invite someone to do something with you. It's a more formal way to say, you know, I'm inviting so-and-so. I extended an invitation to so-and-so because, you know, I want them to come along. To extend, just using that verb without an invitation attached to it, means you stretch out something. If you want to shake someone's hand, you extend your hand to them and then shake. Here, they're just offering an invitation to Aziz. So when Fielding and Aziz meet, they strike up an immediate friendship. To strike up a friendship just means it happens almost immediately, to strike up. We also will use this verb phrase to talk about a conversation. Yeah, we struck up a conversation while we were waiting in line for tickets to a concert, to strike up a friendship. And this happened immediately, so they liked each other pretty much the first moment they met.
So again, she thought, hey, there's four of us having tea together. Can I invite Aziz? He's a nice guy. So he comes along, and Fielding and Aziz kind of hit it off. They strike up a friendship, and not long afterward, the group decides to visit the Marabar Caves together, okay? A cave is different from a tunnel. A tunnel is like a highway going through a mountain. It goes in one side and comes out the other side, like the Xueshan Tunnel. Mm-hmm. But then we have caves in which you go in, but it doesn't really go all the way through, so you're only in one part of it. There are different kinds of caves all over the world. I don't believe I've heard of any caves here in Taiwan. There might be some small ones on the east coast somewhere, but these must be pretty big caves in India there. And they say, hey, you know, you're not doing anything. Let's go check out the Marabar Caves. We can go in there, do some spelunking, which means poking around in caves. And we can look at stalactites and stalagmites. And maybe we can yell and hear our echo, echo, echo inside of the caves.
Oh, it sounds fun. So they go to the caves together. However, on the day of their expedition, Fielding and Godbol miss the train, leaving Aziz to accompany the women alone. So he's going to be taking care of all those ladies by himself. If you go on an expedition, guys, it's a journey that you go on with people. Usually you have a particular purpose. Maybe you're going to explore a new area or do some research. Here, they're on an expedition to explore the caves, which can be fun. I love caves. They're kind of exciting. They can be scary, too, sometimes. Now, if you accompany somebody, you're going along with them. You could say, oh, can you accompany me on my trip to New York City? I'd like some company, someone who is along with you. So you're a companion to this person. You're an escort, you could say. Or you're just going together to have a better time. More fun if you go with people than alone.
Right, if you accompany other people, it can be a lot of fun. Okay, that brings us to the midway point of our lesson for today. Let's stop, take a break, and listen to our Chinese teacher.
大家好，欢迎收听 English Digest, 我是哈利。今天我们要阅读的文章是 Unit 15, 文学单元的第一天课程。今天的文章介绍知名英国小说家 E.M. Forster 的小说 A Passage to India。中文翻译为印度之旅。文章的第一段提到一位英国女士 Adela 和她的朋友到印度旅行，并认识了一些朋友。我们看到这一段的第二句 Upon arriving, Mrs. Moore meets Aziz, a young Muslim doctor. 一抵达时，摩尔夫人遇见了阿吉兹，一位年轻的穆斯林医生。 Upon 或 on后面接名词或 ving, 然后接逗号，再接一完整句子，用来表示一怎么样就怎么样，相当于 as soon as 接一完整句子，逗号，再接一完整句子，也相当于 the moment, the minute, the instant, 接一完整句子，逗号，再接一完整句子。要注意的是，如果从 as soon as或 the moment 句型转换成 upon 句型时，副词子句和主要子句的主词要相同才可以。例如 As soon as Juliet saw Max, she gave him a big hug. 朱丽叶一看到麦克斯就给他一个大大的拥抱。这句也可改成 Upon seeing Max, Juliet gave him a big hug. 文章的第二段提到 Adela 和他的朋友们本来要一起去参观洞穴，但朋友错过火车，因此只剩 Aziz 和 Adela 及 Mrs. Moore 一起去参观洞穴。我们看到第二段的第二句 When Fielding and Aziz meet, they strike up an immediate friendship. 当费尔丁和阿吉兹相遇时，他们马上建立友谊。片语 strike up 有开始的意思。Strike up a friendship with somebody 就是指和某人成为朋友。Strike 的三态是 strike, struck, struck。Struck 的拼法是 S-T-R-U-C-K。另外 ,strike up a conversation with somebody 就是指和某人开始交谈。例如 ,Judy is very shy, so it's unlikely that she would strike up a conversation with someone she is not familiar with. 朱蒂非常害羞，所以她不可能和她不熟的人交谈。此外，和 strike 相关的常见片语还有 strike a balance between A and B， 在 A 和 B 之间取得平衡。例如 ，It is important for students to strike a balance between study and play。学生在课业和玩乐之间取得平衡是重要的。Strike a chord with somebody， 引起某人共鸣或打动某人心弦。Chord, C-H-O-R-D。The new movie really struck a chord with Lisa and became one of her favorite films。这部新电影真的打动了丽莎，成为她最爱的电影之一。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, everybody, let's continue with our lesson. Again, we're summarizing our featured novel, A Passage to India. So we're talking about the author's passage to India, when he went there, the things he experienced, and how he used those experiences to write his famous novel, which was made into a film that was popular way back in 1984. So where we left off, let's see, they were supposed to go to the caves, but Fielding and Godball missed the train. So we've got Aziz, the Muslim doctor, and he's going with the two British women to explore these caves called the Marabar Caves, which don't really exist. Although there's also caves in India called the Barabar.
Yeah, like Marabar is a made up name for real caves that are called Barabar Caves. So this Marabar Caves is only a cave located in this book. So it's fictional. Yeah.
Okay, so in the next paragraph, it says, once they arrive at the Marabar Caves, Mrs. Moore experiences a bout of claustrophobia. Claustrophobia is the fear of closed spaces. Maybe you know someone like that. If they go inside some place like a cave, for example, or maybe in the mountains or something like that, they get all scared and they want to get out of there.
Or even in an elevator.
Could be. I don't have this problem myself, but some people might. And if they have claustrophobia, they might always take the stairs and avoid elevators. Well, Mrs. Moore is really scared to be inside those caves. It's a bout of claustrophobia. Here we're using a bout of something that just means she has an episode or an occurrence of this problem.
Yeah, I would say bout here is kind of like a measure word, 量词, and it's a short period of intense activity of some type. Maybe you went on a drinking bout, or you drank a lot, or you had a bout of strenuous exercise, or you had a severe bout of flu. So it's a short period of some sort of intense activity. Here, claustrophobia is pretty scary for people who are affected by that. And she was deeply affected by the cave's resounding echo. Resounding echo. So Tom actually gave us an example of what an echo is. If it's resounding, it's just really loud and it keeps reverberating. Boom, 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 boom. So that really scared her and she declines to explore further. So she did go inside for a while and then was overcome by her claustrophobia and this echo she could hear. And she went, yeah, thanks, but no thanks. If you decline something, guys, you turn an offer down. You say no to someone when they invite you to do something with them. To politely refuse is to decline an invitation.
That's right, to decline one's invitation. Also, decline means to reduce in amount or intensity. The birth rate in Taiwan has been declining for many years, for example.
Yeah.
But she says, no, please, I'm not going to go in there. I'm scared. So Adela and Aziz continue on into the cave. But when something Adela says offends Aziz, he briefly leaves her to compose himself. So she probably said something that implied that British people are superior to Indian people or something like that. So he was offended by that. If you offend someone, you say something they don't like. You kind of insult them and they're not happy with what you said.
Yeah, I'm wondering, though, Tom, if she kind of says something suggestive to him. Maybe she's attracted to him or interested in him, because of what happens later on. So, she does do something that offends Aziz, and he just needs time away from her so he can compose himself. If someone upsets you, you might want to walk away before yelling at them or saying something back that makes you look bad, too. So if you compose yourself, you just kind of get yourself back together. You're upset, but you give yourself a moment to just relax and chill out. That's what he does. But when he comes back, remember, he leaves her briefly. She's disappeared. She's just gone. He doesn't know where she is. So back at the cave's entrance, Aziz sees Adela driving away. Yeah, so he doesn't know exactly what's about to happen, but it's going to change his life.
Indeed. So she must have been offended by something as well. So she drove away. And on returning to Chandrapur, Aziz is arrested for sexually assaulting Adela at Marabar. So I guess she drove back to the city of Chandrapur and said, hey, that Muslim doctor Aziz sexually assaulted me, which could be some kind of act that he tried to perform on her. Maybe he tried to rape her or something like that. Who knows? At least that's the accusation. So she accused him of sexually assaulting her at the cave of Marabar. And despite the lack of evidence, Aziz goes to trial. So I guess it's one of those cases of his word against hers.
Yeah, we call that a he said, she said.
Right.
So who do you believe? There's no evidence, right? So it's kind of tough. I know it says here Adela offends Aziz in the paragraph just ahead of that. I think he must have not accepted maybe her suggestion. Maybe she was kind of interested in him. She's getting back at him now. Mm. And because there's no evidence and there was no witness, she can say what she wants. And because she is a powerful British citizen, his life just is a mess right now because he can't defend himself. How do you defend yourself against that? So he goes to trial, and meanwhile, Mrs. Moore dies on her journey back to England. So she can't help Aziz. Remember, they liked each other. Mrs. Moore was very respectful to Aziz, and he befriends her. But as she travels back to England, she passes away, and she can't testify in his defense. If you testify, you tell somebody what you saw or what you think you heard to help somebody's in his defense. So she was not able to say, no, no, Aziz would never hurt someone. I don't believe what Adela is saying.
Yeah, she was there, although we don't know how much she saw. But in any case, she can't testify. She can't be in the court to say, hey, he didn't do anything like that. I know him. He's a gentleman. He would never do something like that. But she can't testify. So I guess he's on his own there. So it looks like he's going to be found guilty. But to everyone's surprise at the trial, Adela admits she's wronged Aziz and the case is dismissed. So I guess Adela comes to her senses. She realizes, oh, I can't destroy this man's career. He's a doctor. He's going to help hundreds of people, so I can't do that to him. She comes to her senses and she says, okay, I made the whole thing up. I was mad at him for some reason. So she admits she's wronged him. Here, the verb to wrong someone means you've just done something wrong to somebody. You've harmed them.
Right. So Aziz, though, feels betrayed by Fielding. That's Cyril Fielding, his friend, who has become friends with Adela, too, because Adela's accusations nearly ruined Aziz's life. If you accuse someone of something, you say that they've done something wrong or illegal, and what you say is called the accusation. So accusations nearly ruined Aziz's life that he had supposedly attacked Adela. Well, when Fielding, that's the guy Cyril Fielding, and Adela returned to England, Aziz vows never to befriend another English person. He really didn't trust them before, you know, this all started where he met Adela and Mrs. Moore. But now he's really sure he'll never, ever become friends with another British soul. If you vow something, you promise something, but it's a very, very strong promise. It's the strongest promise you can make if you vow to do something or not do something.
And 2 years later, Fielding returns to India. And though he and Aziz begin to repair their friendship, Aziz maintains that until India is free from Britain's control, they can never truly be friends. So Fielding does come back to India, and he looks up Aziz, and they begin to repair their relationship. They're not enemies so much anymore. To repair just means to fix something, to return something to its original condition. And they do try to repair their relationship, but I think Aziz still won't trust him just because he's British.And maybe Fielding will never really truly think that he can become friends with Aziz because he's from India. It's just too large a gap to bridge between those two cultures. And Aziz maintains he still feels that, hey, as long as Britain is controlling India, we can never really be friends. We've got to be equals.
Yeah, this maintains interesting because it means he keeps saying the same thing. He doesn't change his viewpoint or his position. So it's kind of a sad way to end the story. But sometimes this happens between friends when you don't feel someone's loyal enough to you or stands up for you or has your back, as we like to say. Right now, guys, we're going to listen to our Chinese teacher.
文章的第三段提到 Mrs. Moore 因为有幽闭恐惧症所以最后只剩 Adela 和 Aziz 去参观洞穴。我们看到第三段的第二句。Adela and Aziz continue on, but when something Adela says offends Aziz, he briefly leaves her to compose himself. 艾黛拉和阿吉兹继续往前进，但当艾黛拉所说的某件事冒犯了阿吉兹时，他短暂的离开他，使自己平静下来。动词 compose 在本句是使镇静、使安定的意思。片语 compose oneself 就是使自己镇静下来。例如 A few minutes before his speech began, the speaker closed his eyes and tried to compose himself. 在这位演讲者开始演讲的几分钟前，他闭上眼睛，试着使自己镇静下来。另外 compose 还有创作、作曲、构成的意思。片语 A be composed of B,就是指 A 由 B 组成或构成。例如 The basketball team is composed of 5 professional basketball players. 这支篮球队是由五名专业的篮球员组成。文章的最后两段提到，当 Aziz 回家后，却因为被控告性侵 Adela 而被逮捕。虽然最后误会厘清了，但 Aziz 却认为除非印度独立，不然他和英国人不可能成为真正的朋友。我们看到倒数第二段的第二句。Despite the lack of evidence, Aziz goes to trial. 尽管缺乏证据，阿吉兹仍在法院受审。Despite 是介系词，虽然、尽管的意思，相当于 in spite of。和 although 不同的是 ,despite 后面接名词或 ving, 而不是接一完整句子。例如 Despite feeling extremely sick, my father went to work. 尽管觉得非常不舒服，我爸爸仍然去工作。如果要接一完整句子的话， Despite 后面要先接 the fact that, 才可以接一完整句子。Despite the fact that John failed the test, he didn't feel frustrated. 虽然约翰考试不及格，但他不觉得沮丧。以上就是今天的课程，谢谢大家收听。
So that's just day one of our literature unit. In our next program, we're going to be talking about the author himself, Ian Forster, who's also written some other very popular books that were made into movies. So we hope you'll join us then. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.